The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
This is Eddie Hemmings, and you're listening to The Final Hooter on Radio General.
It is The Final Hooter. We are talking Rugby League on loverugbyleague.com. And thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studio. Breaking news, Parky. Breaking news.
Breaking news. What? No, what's this? You've bought a pint?
It's not the return of Eddie Hemmings.
No? Oh, what a shame.
We just thought we'd dig him out just to remember how he used to cover the game.
Oh, fantastically. That's how he used to cover the game.
I wonder how he's enjoying his retirement.
Lots of golf, I think.
Should we ask him?
Yeah, we could do, couldn't we?
Should have got him on the phone. Should have brought him in. He lives in Warrington.
Is he not? Is he Dursbury way? Is that where he lives?
The posh part, yeah.
Posh bit, yeah.
The posh bit of Halton stroke Warrington.
Hang on, is there a posh bit?
It's quite upmarket.
I mean, I've been coming to Warrington for what, 10 or 12
Darby,
years now.
Not Dursbury. Ah, can't tell you're a Leifer.
That'll be why. Well, can't you tell that you're from that? Because you can't say Leifer.
No, exactly. Yeah, Darsbury.
Darsbury. Right, okay.
It's actually the home place, the home birthplace of the guy who written Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, really? Mm. See, he wanted to get away from it all, so that's why he wrote Alice in Wonderland.
What's his name? Somebody Carroll. Oh, well, forget all that. Listen,
we're still telling tales.
My forte is rugby league, not children's book stories.
Okay, fair all enough. Right. Although yeah. There's been a few tall tales in rugby league, though, hasn't there?
Yeah, and breaking news, just gone away from what we're on about.
We did.
Not very often it happens when we're just about to record the Father Hooter for loverugbyleague.com. But breaking news from Warrington.
Yeah.
Regarding the signing for the rest of the season.
Yeah, a scrum half.
Scrum half.
Played at Saints.
He did.
Played at Salford.
He did.
Played at Wigan.
Widnes,
yeah. Played at Crusaders. As well. Yeah, anywhere else that I've missed?
Catalan Dragons.
Well, he's not really been playing at Catalan Dragons, has he? He went there as a big signing.
He has played a few games, hasn't he?
We're talking none other than Matty Smith.
Yes. What do you make of that?
It's a bit of a strange signing, that, for me. I just feel like...
Are Warrington panicking because the Austin's injured?
Yeah, I think they have. I think they've hit the panic button there. I mean, I have to say, and I've said this elsewhere, that I don't reckon Warrington are capable of picking up the big prize without Austin in the middle of that field.
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? Because when he went off against Catalans on Saturday, Warrington just totally lost away.
Yeah, they fell into a right hole, didn't they? It was a poor performance, that, I think, over at Catalans. It's a good job that they came up with a much better performance the week before, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt. But hey ho, it happens. So, I mean, yeah.
I'm sure every Warrington fan will be happy to have Matty Smith on board and they'll give him full support for the rest of the season. But I don't know, it just seems a bit of a panic signing for me.
Yeah, it looks like he's obviously game time is limited because it looks like Steve McManada prefers Gijo at a fullback.
Oh, listen, you with your French accents.
And then pushing Super Sam up to the halfback.
So you can tell he's been on BBC with his French accents there.
Yeah, not that. So yeah, that's breaking news. Should we go home now?
Go on.
No, we can't. We've got all this audio to get through. Show ahead of us. Plenty of reaction from all the cup winners, and we're going to start with the Women's Challenge Cup final, shall
we? Yeah, really disappointing, but last year I felt like we were probably the better team until like the last 10 minutes, but today I thought that Leeds were the better team right from the start. I thought defensively they were absolutely outstanding, and we just couldn't break them down. You know, everything that we've been doing in training, they just went away from, and I think that was just due to Leeds' tough graft indeed, so... Yeah, I can't be too disappointed, really, that they were deserved winners. It was pretty nervy, and I just think that we just went out and went away from everything that we've done all season. Whether they thought it might be a little bit easier than it was, I don't know. But, a few individuals probably didn't show up today, which is disappointing, and their big game players really did show up for them, so credit to them. Probably the past four games, we've won pretty convincingly, and then going into a real tough game like this on a big stage, you do kind of want to have more match fitness. Leeds probably had a better draw in terms of playing Saints twice, so it were two tough games, two high-pressure games. So maybe in that sense they had better game management, but no complaints on the day, they were better. You know, it got to like the last 10 minutes and I looked at the score and I was looking at the spectators and I just thought, take my cast hat off, this is fantastic for Women's Rugby League. And, you know, there were people wearing Warrington fans cheering, and, you know, that's what it's all about, and that's the whole point of playing it today, is to promote the game, and if we were part of that, then I'm happy for it.
Unbelievable. I'm just so proud of the effort of the girls. You know, we came into the game underdogs. All the talk was about Cass. I just kept feeding them the same message last couple of weeks is, you know, you got 80 minutes to go out there. We talked a lot about sacrifice, and I think the girls did that exactly. They went out there and they sacrificed themselves for the cause, for one another. They all played selfless today, which, you know, resulted in a great victory. You know what, the one thing we talk about is just the desire to keep turning up for one another. I think today, coming into to this game, worked perfectly for us. We adjusted how we're going to play, just a minor bit yesterday. Obviously, knowing it was raining makes the field a little bit more skinnier when the ball's as slippery as it was. So we adjusted a bit. The girls all bought in. They just kept turning up set after set in defence. You know, some of those efforts to bundle them over the touch when they're looking like dead set certain to score tries in the corner, it's just outstanding. We can't really coach that. You need girls to just have a genuine buy-in and that desire to keep turning up, and that's how big plays like that come. I think that the semi-final, especially when we play Saints, I think that was a good feeler for us, you got to sometimes get yourselves in those sort of situations to know how to go win the game. And we got a good chance to go do that in the semi-final. I wouldn't like to win like that. They're brilliant because, you know, the range of emotions, and you really feel like you've won a game. But I think the hair count on the top of my head says otherwise. But I think... I think going forward, you know, you do need that. You need that those sort of games to get that sort of character throughout the squad, so they understand how to go win games in tough situations. And I think, yeah, that definitely has helped, you know, in today's performance, because, you know, it was back and forth the whole game, basically. And, you know, they could have very well won it. They got enough class players in that team to go win it in that last 10 minutes. But, you know, we've been in that situation. We're experienced now a number of times. And, you know, we went out there and we just kept turning up.
I think momentum's a funny thing in this game. So, you know, we didn't want to give them too much of it, and particularly early on in the game. So the girls' reaction was fantastic. I knew, you know, there was always going to be something on out there with Fran Goldthorpe, so kicking to her is always always quite nice to, you know, kick it and sit back and watch what happens. So it was nice to reply. And then from there, I mean, it was a bit of a tug-of-war, really, wasn't it, at times? But, yeah, just really proud of the girls to hold on, particularly through that, you know, last 15 minutes, I suppose, when we snuck our noses back in front to grind out the game. Nothing but pure heart in that last sort of 15, 20 minutes, yeah. Oh, look, as soon as I saw Denny Anderson with the ball in her hand, she is incredible. For the size of the girl playing up front, she always finds a way to just, you know, bust through that tackle, free a little arm. And as soon as I saw her go, I saw, you know, my eyes lit up and I thought, go with her. And to be honest, she just timed that, you know, offload perfectly to me. My job was easy, you know, run a couple of metres and slide across the wet grass, which is always fun. So, yeah, look, Danielle Anderson scored that try. I just finish him off. I'm loving sort of sitting back. I suppose I'm not sitting back. I'm part of it. But watching the game grow over here, and hopefully that transition is through to professionalism. It's a really exciting period, and particularly given you guys are going to host. I say you guys, I'm over here now, isn't it? We in England are going to host the World Cup in, you know, the very near future. So, you know, moments like today and hosting World Cups are only going to do wonderful things for the women's game. And I'm just so proud to be a part of it, and particularly with a club like the Leeds Rhinos. You know, they're a global brand in the rugby league world, in the sporting world, and I couldn't think of a better club to be a part of this women's rugby league journey with.
For me personally, I've worked really hard for 3 years to watch two Challenge Cups and then to come in this third one and finally play in it. And for me, I think I put in good performance for it. But, you know, for the girls, you know, we've come in as Challenge Cup holders, and the pressure was to keep it. and we've managed to do that, but we came as underdogs. They nailed us, you know, a few weeks ago, so we just have to play our game, and that's what we did. In attack, I can't tell you, it's the most composed I've ever been on a field. It was just phenomenal. And then defensively, we camped in our line for a good, you know, 10-15 minutes throughout that game, and they didn't break us, so look, what we've been working on worked, and defence wins games, as they say, so that's what happened today, and we came away. Do you know, Cusco's done a great job there. This week it's been about us, and he's told us to ignore everything. He's dispelled all the media and all the social, which is phenomenal at the minute. The amount of coverage we're getting is great, and he's just like, look, girls, you know, and we've trained so well the last 2 weeks. He's just been pushing us to work on our game, and that's all it is. We don't concentrate on Cass. We know they've got standout players. We know they've got some really key girls that are going to be in that World Cup squad in 2021, but do you know what, you focus on your own game and it comes up, it pays dividends, doesn't it? I've been so lucky this season. I played at Headingley, I played at Bolton. The game is growing, you know. 3 years ago it was played at a little ground in York, and now I'm in the middle of Bolton Stadium. I came and watched the semi-final last year, now I'm playing here, so it's a dream come true, honestly.
Delighted to be joined by Danielle Anderson. Danielle, great performance from Leeds today. Your thoughts on winning this Challenge Cup?
I think it was just an absolute brilliant game. Like, we all come into this know that were our cup last year, we had to carry it on this year. Like, everybody had their eyes on Cass winning it, but we knew deep down that we had what it takes to win it, and we dug deep and gave it us all.
How's preparation gone this week ahead of this? Because it's not just a normal game, is it, for a cup final?
I think this week has been one of the best training weeks we've actually had throughout the year. Like, we trained Tuesday, Thursday, and even last night, doing a team run helped us prepare well.
And I've got to say as well, your performance as well, there were times when you were taking 2-3 drives a set. Is that just typical of the type of game that you put in?
Yeah, that's just me. Like, everyone just say I'm quite a workhorse, but that's how I like it. I like to be involved, and I just love rugby, so I like to show what I can do.
And what's your background in the game? Where have you come from? How have you got to this point?
Well, I played club level for Alton Raidettes when I was 16, and then I was there for quite a few years, but I wanted to challenge myself, so when I heard Leeds had a team, I jumped at the chance to join.
So that was when they were having all the trials the year before now?
Yeah, I've been about 2 years now.
And I suppose you get to become part of history like this. I mean, this has been fantastic today. What's it meant to come to a stadium like this today and play in front of this ever-increasing crowd?
I just think it's a great achievement for the whole club. We're getting to play in bigger stadiums all the time, so this is just a great atmosphere to especially play before the Ben semi-final. It brings in a big crowd, which we're all looking to play in front of.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Oh, sorry about that, yeah. Listen to all that audio there. What a day out it was for the women's rugby league team from Leeds and Castleford. Just working out the maths was it the last one, Danielle Anderson?
Yeah, Danielle Anderson. Yeah.
18.
Well, that's when she was playing for Ulton Raidettes.
Oh, I thought you said Ulton Raidettes under 16s.
No. She's been playing for Ulton Raidettes, and then the last couple of years she's been playing at Leeds Rhino. She's one of the premier women's players in the country. She's been named in the 24-player squad that's going to be heading down to Papua New Guinea come the end of the year.
Danielle Anderson, not Daniel Anderson. He used to be the St. Aaron's coach.
No, don't get them too mixed up. Don't get them too mixed up. But, yeah, great for Leeds Rhinos defeating Castleford 16 points to 10 against the odds.
Who'd have thought that'd be the only thing Leeds Rhinos will win this year?
Well, no, but even so, I mean, that was a really good win, that, when you consider about how...
I'm not taking anything away from the women's rugby team. I'm having a pop at Leeds.
You're having a pop at Leeds Rhinos. Yes. Stop it. We'll have people turning off. Don't be like that.
Sorry, Leeds fans.
You know, he's been away for a week or two.
Go and dig us out the hole then.
Okay, so, but yeah, fantastic. I thought that was the game of the day, actually, I have to admit, compared with the other two. But we're going to be hearing further semi-final reaction, aren't we, on what was a great day at Bolton.
Do you actually think the Women's Cup final was better than Warrington Leeds battle? And Warrington Leeds, got me confused, Warrington Hull.
I do, yeah, I do. I thought that was a really good game. From you know, the standards rising in the women's game,
and
I think that it deserves to be talked about. I mean, I was also at the Challenge Shield final the night before when I spoke to a lady called Carrie Roberts, who originally comes from St Helens, who was a star player for the Army.
Well, Carrie Roberts, we're here after the Challenge Shield final, and you're a winner with the Army. Tell us about this game. 40 points to 4 against York.
I do, to be honest with you, and I don't mean that to disrespect the opponents. I think our performance didn't reflect the score. I thought we could have put a few more points on them in the second half. We were clinical in the first half, came out strong, putting numbers in the tackles. I thought we performed really well, and it's probably the best completion rate we've done across the whole season, so pretty happy.
I was alongside Leon Price in commentary, and he was very, very complimentary with the way that you played.
Oh,
and
thank
those
you.
Completion rates as well. So is that something that you work on? Because I'd gather that you, as a squad, you'd only be able to come together at certain points.
Yeah, we haven't been able to come together that much. So when we do come together for a fixture, we only get a couple of days beforehand to train, so it's difficult to, you know, train for them couple of days without getting any injuries before the match. So yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
So I've played rugby league since I was 10. I grew up in St Helens. I played for Fat O'Heath, who are now St Helens. So just missed out on that, unfortunately. And I got selected for England in 2015. And I played a few test games with them. And then got posted down south, so unfortunately I couldn't continue with it. But hopefully at some point I'll get another shot.
So you've been representing the army for several years, have you now?
I was playing union a couple of years back, so I had a couple of years out of league. It was just because of the location, and now I've got the time to be able to come up north and play, so I'm back playing league and I absolutely love it.
It must be nice to get that opportunity to come back to that sport which has treated you so well.
Yeah, it's great, and my chain of command have really helped me out and, you know, give me that freedom to come up here, and it's been really good.
Tell us about your job as well.
My job at the minute I'm training phase 2 recruits, so I do a bit of that, and you know, the guys who are first joining up the army doing that. It's really enjoyable. I don't get much time to myself. I spend my evenings working on them, and you know, quite busy, but yeah, I really enjoy it. It's good.
And I know also in your background you've got a couple of other things like commendations and a couple of tours under your belt as well.
Yeah, I went to Afghanistan Operation Herrick 9 and 17 as well, and I received a commandant's commendation while I was out there. Did a few bits with the Afghan National Army, you know, helping mentor them over there. Yeah, that's pretty much it. But
because I mean, we don't hear the enough stories really about Armed Forces Rugby League personnel,
yeah,
and the fact of what you give in your daily duties to service for this country as well. I know you were just thinking it's a job, weren't you?
Yeah, I was a bit young when I went to Afghanistan. I was only 18 when I went, but it massively opened my eyes up to like what the military do. Because before that, if I'm completely honest, I didn't really know what my job was until I got out there and then realised what it was. And yeah.
One final thing for me. Did you play in the last Shield final against York a couple of years ago?
No, I didn't play in that one, no.
So this is the difference tonight then?
No, definitely not. But it was good.
No, it was a great team effort, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was brilliant. The team have worked hard and they absolutely deserve it. Their previous game against Featherstone, I think that was deserving of a final. It should have been. But yeah, we played great tonight as a team.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter with Adrian Jackson and David Parkinson.
Wow, think back what I was doing when I was 18.
Yeah.
And it wasn't going Afghanistan, put it that way.
And wasn't it great to hear the background story there from Carrie? I thought that she's a fascinating character, really good rugby player as well. In fact, I reckon if she wasn't in the army and currently serving in the army, then she'd probably be a shoo-in for one of those centre positions for England come the end of the year.
Yeah, congratulations to the army. Well done to Leeds Rhinos for winning the Women's Challenge Cup final. That led on to the semi-final doubleheader in the rain of Bolton. Who was going to get to Wembley? Well, it was decided it was always going to be St Helens, but Halifax did themselves proud, didn't they?
They did, yeah. They really stuck
up.
They stuck up a defensive blanket for much of the first 50 minutes, didn't they? And I thought they were really unlucky when they conceded that try to Peyrou. I thought that was a really fortunate one for St Helens. But you know, ultimately, Saints were the favourites. They got the job done, didn't they?
Yeah. Whereas on the other hand, they had the battle between Warrington and Hull. That could have gone either way.
Oh, it could. Yeah. I mean, all the way through to the last couple of minutes, when was it Philbin picked up that loose ball inside that 20-metre line and strode his way over. But yeah, they had to really fight hard in that one, did Warrington, even though the Super League form is somewhat to be desired currently in sort of knockout rugby. They've done a good job there.
Well, they got to Wembley, first time ever for the St Helens Warrington final.
I can't believe that we've been going all these years and we've never seen a St Helens and Warrington Challenge Cup final before.
Well, we are going to see one at the end of August. Let's hear from the winning coach and captain, Steve Price and Chris Hill.
this time is we've just been invited to the wedding again. This time we want to be brides, not bridesmaids. I'm just really pleased for the boys. We've had a rough couple of weeks, but a few speed ups along the way, but I always knew what type of team we had, and you know, that typified, you know, what we represent today. We showed a huge amount of fighting spirit, and you know, what our DNA and our foundation's been built on over the last 18 months, we showed that in spades today. And it was one brutal game. It was a tough game of footy, and the most pleasing thing for me is we stayed at and never shied away from the plan.
Was it a late? How much of a late call was it to bring Steph Ratchford back? Was it a big call?
Yeah, it was a big call. It was a big call. Yeah, definitely. Yesterday, it was, you know, last 24 hours, and when Chana's went down with his, you know, he had to, you know, go down with his knee operation. And but it's a credit to Steph. Like, he's done everything right for in nine and a half weeks to, you know, turn around a torn pec. Unbelievable. Credit to our medical staff also, and our high performance staff. All combined. I'm just really, really pleased for him. He's the ultimate professional, and typified his performance today.
A big performance from Blake Austin as well. That's what you pay the money for, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what you expected to do. But in saying that, all 17 contributed to a good performance, and it's not about individuality here. It's about team. And we show that in spades today. And credit to Hull. They had a big crack too. And it was seesaw and end to end. And Snead's kicking game was, on song, but we had a lot of pressure too going with it. And I thought we showed a lot of pump today. We represented the badge today on what we expect. Joe's try at the end there was an example of how we stayed at it and stayed at it until we broke him at the end. And he trains like that every session. I've seen Joe Fieldman have one bad training session since I've been involved, and mate, he's been dishing up those type of performances over the last 8 months consistently. And I'm just really pleased for all the boys. But in saying that, we're not going to get carried away. We've still got one game to go.
Probably them and Saints have been the form side last 3 or 4 weeks. So as soon as the rain started, we knew it was going to be a forwards battle. And they've got an experienced pack. They've played really well. So now we know we've got it. We've got the belief between us. I think we've probably been laying each other down last couple of weeks. So it was really pleasing to put a performance in like that. And thought our ass were outstanding. Thought Austin and Deck really controlled the game and the kicking game. We were starting in right positions and really putting them under pressure, so credit to everyone.
Chris, are you trying to imagine yourself lifting that trophy, or can you not let yourself do that?
No, I'm not. Like you said, we've got 3 Super League games we've got to back to now and get a bit of form back in Super League, and that's our aim now. Like Pricey said, we want to go and be the bride, not the bridesmaid, and we've not won anything yet. Yeah, it's pleasing today, the performance put in and the way we've done it, but we've not won anything yet, and the boys know that, and we'll be ready to go when the time comes.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General. Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Who asked that silly question at the end? You don't start asking players. Have you started imagine yourself holding that trophy aloft?
I think it was a guy.
Won anything?
I think it was a guy from the Warrington Guardian. That sort of chuck.
Dear me, dear me.
He obviously must have had a thought.
Don't ask that question.
It was a silly question.
Silly question, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Final Hooter. We're talking rugby league on loverugbyleague.com. Adrian Jackson, Dave Parkinson. Thanks very much to Radio General for letting us use the studio.
Yeah, we're sounding all right on this Radio General stuff.
Yeah, and we're going to continue with the reaction from the semi-finals. Let's hear from the Super Saints as they set up the first ever Warrington versus St Helens Challenge Cup final with, well, it was expected to be a routine victory against Halifax, but fair play to the facts. They made Saints play hard for it and work hard for it.
They certainly did, yeah. The fax machines really chucked themselves at the Saints, didn't they?
Shall we hear from a rugby league duo of Holbrook and Amor?
Why not?
Sounds like a good stand-up comedian act.
It does, yeah, from the 1970s.
Well, I just think congratulations. You're at Wembley. The Saints fans will be looking forward to that. So your thoughts on this semi-final win?
Yeah, just great to win it, to be going to Wembley for...
for the players, everyone at the club and everyone in the town. As we all know, we haven't been there for 11 years. So tricky game today, you know, a tough one against a committed opposition in Halifax. So for our side to win it, that's the main thing, and we did that.
You've wrote the wrongs from last season, and now you've shown, it doesn't matter who you're playing, a Challenge Cup semi-final, you've shown that you now can get to a major final.
Yeah, and that's a pleasing thing. You know, I thought we made a lot of errors with the ball that we made this time last year, but the difference was we defended them. You know, last year we weren't good enough to. So, yeah, look, we've still got to get better, but the main thing is we're there and we're going to give ourselves a chance.
I mean, they put everything into it, but that first half, that was their cup final. I mean, I don't know whether the tackling or the ferocity of it surprised you, but they didn't leave anything in the tank, did they? Especially that first 40.
No, they didn't, and we expected that. You know, I think they were looking forward to playing us just as much as we were. I think they were looking forward to coming here and having everything it's associated with. And as I said, they did themselves really proud today on how hard they tried.
And then the focus is the fact that, you know, your focus is a penalty came, you went for 2-0. Perhaps it would have been a Super League game. You go for the 4 and go for the 6. But it's given the respect to them, but it's also given respect to the competition, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, I think, and that's what it's about. You know, when you're playing knockout games, you just got to win them, and that's the main thing. So it's not about wasn't about trying to come here and win 50-0, because, you know, we weren't good enough to do that. It was about just working hard, and, you know, in the end, we got the win we needed.
And the second half, a few more tries, but, I mean, I know, I always reckon defence win match. I know you've got to score tries to win them, but if you stop them, the kit with the talent you've got in that side, no matter whether it be Halifax, whoever, you know, you can't pull the scoring points.
Yeah, and that's a main thing. You know, if we're a bit off with the attack, we, you know, the defence, you know, keeps you in the game, and you know, I thought we were great for 80 minutes in that area. So we've got to get better with the ball, but defensively, you know, outstanding.
Wasn't a classic Saints performance, but you got the job done today.
Yeah, look, it didn't matter to me if we won by a point or two or 10 or 15 or 20, or, you know, as long as we, you know, this group is so desperate to get to a final, and I thought we looked pretty nervy in that first half, and that's probably a credit to where that they fronted up. You know, the Championships, I spent 2 years in there, and it's an uncompromising and tough division, and, you know, they certainly showed that. They took the game to us, but I thought that we tried to play a bit too clever, a bit too cute. You know, we were throwing long balls around in the rain and flirting with the touchline an awful lot. But, you know, second half, we spoke about how we've gone after teams down the middle all year, and why change, and that's what we did second half. And in the end, if I'm honest, I thought it was just a matter of how many, you know. But, you know, I've got to pay credit to Halifax. But, you know, today was all about us, to be honest. So, yeah.
Because of all the expectation on you guys being red hot favourites, was that on your mind coming into today's game?
No, we didn't really read too much into that. You know, we just knew that Halifax were going to turn up. And it's a bit different, you know, the Championship, they defend in different ways, you know, they're a bit more erratic, so the players that normally work in Super League tend not to work in when you play those guys. And, you know, I look, absolutely over the moon. We were on a hiding to nothing, really, weren't we? If we didn't win by 40, people would have spoken. If we only won by sort of 10 or 15, then people would have spoke. So, look, just absolutely delighted for everybody involved in this great club that, you know, we're back to Wembley for a long, long time.
It's been a long time. It's hard to believe it's been over 10 years, but you've finally done it.
Yeah, I know. James Robey mentioned it a while back, right at the start of our journey this year, the Challenge Cup, that he won it in 06, 07 and 08, I think it was. And you know, at the time, if somebody had told him that you wouldn't make another Wembley appearance in 11 years, he'd have laughed at you. So, you know, they don't come around very often, and I've been chasing this game for all my career. You know, like I say, it's the piece that I'm missing, really. So, and for a lot of us as well. So, you know, we're just so happy that we finally got there.
Being at Wembley as well is great, but Warrington will be there. Yep. It's going to be a tough game.
Oh, of course it is, mate. You know, we've had some great encounters with Warrington already this season, and last season. So, you know, we look, first against second, if the game ever wanted a final, that's the final, isn't it? You know, so you know, I hope everybody gets behind it and makes it a great spectacle for the game.
Just looking at the semi-final, because it was Halifax and you were a bit on off of that, did that keep you guessing to what was going to happen throughout the game?
No, I mean, look, I thought we defended fantastic, really. I thought it was just our attack didn't flow as it would do against the Super League side, and I thought we were, like I say, I thought we were a bit dumb in the first half, and in the second half we sort of, you know, we clicked into gear and we looked a different side, really, didn't we? So, but I thought our defence was phenomenal, really.
How do you feel you went on the pitch?
You know, I've been really happy with the way I've been playing all year. You know, my role changed at the start of the year, and I got a challenge put down to me, and you know, I've played an awful lot of rugby this year that, you know, that maybe I wasn't supposed to play, and look, I'm just really happy with how I'm going, and you know, I just hope that this time round that Justin goes with me. You know, I've got a lot of experience, and I feel I'm playing okay now, so hopefully I can keep my place and get after that Wembley final that I've dreamed of.
It's a month away, so before that, cut the Super League game to focus on to just maintain your position.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Carry on.
No, too right, mate. We've got we're going to enjoy this tonight, and then we get back to work on Monday and look to wrap up that League Leader Shield. You know, there's another trophy that's there for us to box off, and again, we're a very hungry and determined group, so we're gonna try our very best to win all three if we can.
Well, St. Helens have wrapped up the League Leader Shield, so well done to the Super Saints.
Yeah, well done to Saints. Very consistent, great performance from them over the course of the season.
Cal Amor sounds like a St. Helens guy now, doesn't he? He doesn't sound like a Mara anymore.
He does. He doesn't sound very Cumbrian, does he?
You know, he's lost his Cumbrian twang.
He's definitely sounding more like yourself, Adrian.
Yeah. I'm not from St. Helens.
I know. Yes, I got him, folks. I got him.
I don't sound like Johnny Vegas.
Hey, monkey. That was Johnny Vegas.
Yeah, exactly. So, well done to St. Helens. Eventually, biggest rumour in rugby league. He's been rumbling all season. Is he going? Is he not? Is he going? Is he staying?
What, Kyle Amor?
No. Justin Albrook.
Justin.
Going back to the NRL to take charge of the Gold Coast Titans.
Yeah, it's an interesting move for Justin, that, isn't it? You can consider him having made his name in the Super League. Mm. We saw it with Trent Robinson, didn't we, a couple of years ago over at Catalan, and since then he's gone back to Australia and lifted a title, I think, hasn't he, over at the Sydney Roosters.
He has.
We've seen it with Michael Maguire. When Maguire came over, he was an assistant as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, when these guys come over, when Justin came, it was Justin who?
Yeah.
Michael Lou,
yeah.
Trent who?
Trent. What do you mean, Trent? What a strange name that is for a coach.
I remember, it always reminds me of Trent Robinson. In his first season at the Magic Weekend in Manchester.
All right, okay.
When he was at Man City.
Yeah.
I was amazed to see, he's Australian, is he? Yeah.
He is, right? Yeah.
He's
yeah.
played his rugby league in France.
He has played, he played about 4 or 5 years in France, yeah.
And he actually did his press conference in French. I was amazed.
See, that's more than me.
Staggered.
That's more than me or thee could do, isn't
wow.
it? We struggle with English.
A lot of the Super League coaches struggle with English. But yeah, Trent Robinson did it in French.
Trent Robinson, dual language man.
So it'd be interesting to see who replaces Justin Holbrook.
Do you think that they'll go overseas again? Will they go for that model?
They're going to do the hard, aren't they? I'd like to see a British coach get it.
I mean, I would. I mean, you know, we spoke to Richard Marshall a few weeks ago, and wouldn't it be great if they appointed him as head coach? But they probably will end up going for someone like maybe a Jason Demetriou figure or someone of that sort of ilk. David Furley is another guy that's being linked with them. Obviously, he had a stint playing for St. Helens, didn't he, a few years ago, did fairly. So there's maybe a bit of a romanticism there amongst the Saints fans are getting one of their old players back.
Give it Mark Aston. Been there and done it.
Tell you what, Mark is the best bloke to speak to in rugby league. And I caught up with him after the Eagles got to Wembley, courtesy of an 18-2 defeat of Batley Bulldogs.
Mark, I'm delighted that I'm alongside you and the club is back off to Wembley for the first time in 21 years. Has it felt 21 years since you went?
It's felt like 50 years, to be fair. Yeah, it's surreal. Again, you know, everybody's dream, isn't it, to play at Wembley. And we had, myself, Keith, Paul Brobin, all the guys, had an opportunity and realised our dream. And we spoke about that leading up to this game, is that, you know, there's not a great deal of people get the opportunity. So for these guys to work like they've done and put the effort in and the attitude towards defence today, I'm really pleased for them. So, yeah, it's been a long time, but it seems longer. And I'm really over the moon, because for a club it puts us back on the map a little bit. The people of Sheffield will start talking behind it, because, you know, all them people that didn't come to the Wembley when we won in 98 might even, you know, they might come back or might look at it, because they miss a great occasion that day. So hopefully we can revisit that, but yeah, it's massive for the club.
I've got to admit, you know, there's some games that are scrappy and some games that are good scrappy, and I put this down as a good scrappy game.
Yeah, it was in the arm wrestle all the time, wasn't it? It wasn't a great football spectacle, but actually we're all about will and want and attitude, and, you know, defence. defence wins you semi-finals. That's what we spoke about leading into this game, and defensively we were on the button today. We wasn't with the ball, we missed a few opportunities, we didn't do the right sort of stuff, but that's a bit of nerves and a bit of anxiousness. But towards the end they grew into it. We knew we had to play for 80 minutes, and sometimes when you put that sort of effort in and that sort of commitment and prepared to put your body where it's got to go, then you get the rewards, and I thought the boys deserved it today.
I was going to ask you about that, because arguably in that first half there was probably two or three other opportunities of scoring points, wasn't there, that you mustn't have been too happy with. But like you say, it's semi-final football, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought we tried to play too much football. I thought we tried to move the ball around them, and I talked about going through them. I adjusted them at half time. We spoke about playing a different structure. Did we do it? Yes. Did we nail it correctly? No. But actually what we did at the right time, we put the ball in the right area and built the pressure on them, and the game in that second half we played in the right area of the field, which was very important as a team.
We picked out Josh Guzdek as our player of the match. He was solid all day. They chucked everything at him.
Yeah. I mean, he's been outstanding. He's been a great signing for us. He's just solid. He does everything. Don't make many mistakes. And he gives a lot of confidence to the guys in front. You know, he stops tries. He catches the balls. What more do you want from a fullback? He links in. I really enjoyed working with him this year. He's been great. But I thought he should have been up there. I thought Brad Knowles were very good for us. I thought Ryan Miller, Ben, you know, they were all good in their own little ways, you know. And you need 17 people to actually participate and deliver a performance, and I thought we had a large percentage of them today. And I spoke about in the past that to win big games you need to be an 8 plus in your ratings, and there were more 8s today than we've had probably all year.
I'm glad I don't have that job to do today, to be honest, Mark. But on a second point of view, you already mentioned Paul Broadbent and his influence on the team that you were part of when you went to Wembley. Tell you what, Blake could really make something of himself. I thought that was an excellent second half from him.
Yeah, he's a good kid. Real good kid. Just spit and dabble of his dad, you know. Probably better than his dad, don't tell him I told you. But he's an honest kid. He works, and he were at Castleford at under-19s, didn't get a chance. He went and played amateur rugby league. And being said to me, oh, Blake's going to walk away from the game, can we give him a pre-season? I went, 100% I can, this is what I do. And we pulled him in, and his pre-season, we're on it. Don't forget, it's only last year, the last pre-season. And he worked his socks off, just like I know he would, like his dad would. He wanted to be the best he could be, and he impressed that much in pre-season. We signed him. He played 7 games last year, and some of the big games he scored tries, a couple of tries against Featherstone and Lee. And then he goes into a pre-season, off he goes again, and he works about it. He goes around his business with the right attitude, the right commitment, and you know that he's going to progress. His dad was a late bloomer, and he played for Great Britain at 26, 28, so look, he's only going to get better. And the nice thing about him, he spits out of his dad's mouth. He is with maybe a little bit more. He's got a little bit more footwork than his dad. But he's a good, honest kid, and that's why I do what I do. We had Ryan Miller today come through our system. Greg Burns from Hillsborough Hawks, Paddy Burns from Hillsborough Hawks, Blake Broadbent from Sheffield. This is what we're in the game for, and I've always said that. And there's other kids out there, Ed Batty, Corey Ass, and all these kids are out there. That's what we've done, and these kids are going to get the chance to play at Wembley.
He just said to you, don't tell his dad. He's just told him.
I know, he's just told everybody, hasn't he?
Told everybody.
Wasn't it great to hear an interview where they mentioned Paul Broadbent? I'd almost forgotten about Paul Broadbent. What a player he was during these
shows
days.
Shows you're getting old when your son's playing.
I know.
Wow.
I know. And I was commentating alongside Corey Aston in game as well. So that was an interesting experience.
Keeping him with the Astons, was
definitely,
you?
Definitely, yeah.
Welcome
to
Sheffield, back at Wembley.
Mm-hmm.
For the first ever 1895 Cup Final. Well, their game was played the day before. It's on the same day, but played earlier.
Yeah, it was played about 2 hours before the other kickoff, wasn't it?
For the showdown between Widnes and Lee, who was going to get there? Well, it was Widnes.
It was. Outplayed Lee Centurions on the day, deserved it. Good performance from them, and we're going to hear from Messrs. Pirtle and Jack Owens, who spoke with Adrian.
I don't think it's quite sank in yet that we're going to Wembley. You know, I thought the game in itself was a fantastic game. You know, not the probably prettiest in terms of rugby league, but two teams giving everything they've got for each other in front of a big crowd. You know, what a great advertisement for the championship and the A and B Sundex Cup as well going to Wembley.
Defensively, pretty good.
Yeah, very good. I thought both teams were. You know, there weren't a lot between us. We turned up for each other. We worked hard, and you know, we knew we had to be very, very good to come here and get a win. And you know, today we did, and we came away with the win.
Smart try that was created when it looked like you're going to go for the kit, then decided to run it.
Yeah, we've got some smart players. You know, Jack Owens and Danny Craven. You know, they're very, very smart with the ball in hand. But I think a lot of our performance today was down to some other guys. You know, Jordan Johnson in the middle, 80 minutes, absolutely fantastic. I thought Paddy Irvan on the wing was superb. You know, and then the other guys all played their part. So I think, you know, 1-17. You know, team performance. A little bit disappointing not to get Ollie on at the end there, but you know, sometimes you've got to cop that. And you know, the boys who we're on, we're doing the job. So it's a team effort, and we've got a trip to Wembley to show for it.
No try scored in the first half. So what was the mood like at half time?
Very good. You know, I said both teams I thought were good. It was a tense game. We knew that, you know, the conditions weren't great, and you just had to stay in there and keep turning up and working hard, and you know, not panic. And I think that was, you know, evidence in the second half. We had a lot of pressure on our try line, but we kept coming off our line. We forced some errors, and we didn't panic, and we played the conditions. And when we got up that end, we scored tries, and you know, we've come away with a win.
You mentioned it's a trip to Wembley. What does that mean to Widnes?
Just look at the fans behind the sticks then at the end of the whistle. You know, look at that. You look at the celebrations in the changing room after what's been a traumatic season for everyone involved in the club. It's a fantastic way to finish off. You know, we've got to go there and enjoy the day regardless of the result of it. It's a great occasion for us, and you know, something we'll look forward to.
Go again next week in the league against Sheffield, so it's back to the ground.
Yeah, it is. It's I think Sheffield won today as well, so it's a rerun or rehearsal of the Challenge Cup. So you know, we've got to be good with our energy this week. Sheffield will be the same. You know, we've put a lot of energy in today's game, and emotionally, you know, getting to Wembley can take a lot out of you. So we've got to regroup, we've got to get ourselves back together, and we've got to turn up, and ultimately we've got to win some games in the league as well.
The conditions definitely help them and help us. We want to play. We want to move them around a bit. You know, they've got some big lads. They signed like to Mitch Clark, Junior Sauer, Jordan Thompson's coming. So they signed some big players, and we want to move them big players around. We couldn't do so. First half, football teams just defended the socks off, to be honest. And like I said, the tighter third. And in games like that, it's not going to be the big players going to break them down. It's going to be the little inside balls, the push on the players where you're not expected to score. And I think both teams scored off them type of tries. And yeah, it was a good game.
Half time pretty close, no tries on the boards. What was the mood like?
Oh, look, we were happy. To be honest, they threw a lot more at us first half than we threw at them. We got down there, we just turned cheap ball over. We got down there, I kicked the ball dead, 7 tackles set. Kicking play four, not getting it in touch and that. So we just turned over some cheap ball, and if you give them enough opportunities, it's hard to defend against, to be honest. So look, we're happy to get the win, and best luck to Lee in the playoff run. You know, hopefully they can do something special with all the players this time.
Tries were taken really well, and the smart move was on the last play where we were expecting the kick.
That's the thing, yeah. You know, I think everyone knows Danny Craven does all our kicking. We don't hide that fact. But I step on the right, and you know, 99 times out of 100 it's going to go to Danny Craven. We pressured him, and luckily Wildy and Keenan pushed through, and JJ, you know, I think at that point he played about 50 odd minutes and he's still pushing through. I was close to behind JJ trying to catch him up, and then when he kicked it, he's not kicked the ball since pre-season because he kicked it about 20 metres on our own 40. So yeah, look, it's a great try. Like I said, we score tries when the players don't expect it, so look, it's nice to get there, and we're going to enjoy Wembley when we get there.
You were one of the try scorers as well, so that was a nice moment for yourself to do it at your former club.
Yeah, look, I think when we played against Lee at home, probably I've got a little bit too much personal heart into the game, but look, at the end of the day, they're a great club, and you only want the best out of the players for rugby the town. And it was nice to score again. It didn't really matter, it was against Lee and it's my old team. You know, it was just nice to score that try and sort of put a bit of a gap in there. It would have been nice to kick the goal, but look, it didn't happen, and we got the win in the end. And I'm just buzzing for Wembley now. I believe Sheffield won, so you know, they've got some good players. And
trip to Wembley, Widnes have got a rich history of that. So what's it mean to you as a Widnesian to be walking out to Wembley with your hometown team?
Yeah, look, mate, it's massive. Everyone dreams of playing the Wembley. Everyone wants to play in the Challenge Cup final. We're not in the Challenge Cup final, we're in the 1895 Cup. Who knows how long this cup's going to be around for, so we only get one shot of this. There's no rewind, so we'll just go out there, we'll try and take it like a normal game. And yeah, let's make it black and white after that Challenge Cup game. Saints won it beforehand. It's going to be a great game. You know, I've got a best mate at Saints Percy, and I've got a few of my mates there, so it'll be nice to watch them, and you know, hopefully they can get the win and we can follow up after them.
Seemed to mean a lot to the fans. I really enjoyed it at the end.
Mate, every interview I've ever done is I've always mentioned this, and without the fans we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have been playing in this game. I think there was 4,500 there, so respect to both fans for turning this place out. But yeah, like I said, look, them fans saved our club day one of self-fundraising. They saved the club. The consortium jumped in with the 8 board members, and they saved our club. And then every game we play, first and foremost, you play for yourself and the members of staff at the club. But secondly, it would be stupid not to think we're not playing for them, because we are. And I hope all of them know that, and I hope you all enjoy your trip down to Wembley.
This is Eddie Hemmings, and you're listening to The Final Hooter on Radio General.